Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com. Join Josh and Chuck, the guys who bring you stuff you should know, as they take a trip around the world to help you get smarter in a topsy-turvy economy. Check out the all-new Super Stuff Guide to the Economy from HowStuffWorks.com, available now exclusively on iTunes.
Hi there, everybody. Welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette. I'm an editor here at HowStuffWorks.com, and sitting next to me, as usual, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
Aloha!
All right. Wasn't expecting that.
No, you weren't.
All right. Well, so why the aloha?
No reason. Okay. Just like to change it up every now and then.
All right.
And multicultural kind of guy.
I figured you were thinking of pineapples.
No, I think I'll end this with mahalo.
I think Mr. Calacanis will have a word to say about
that. Why don't we move on to our topic?
All right. So today we're going to talk about communications.
Yes.
Actually, long distance. Maybe somebody will be saying aloha and mahalo to you.
Yeah, perhaps some roaming.
Yeah.
Because we're going to talk about cellular communications. We've had a lot of emails come in about, you know, discussing things like the 2G network, the 3G network, the eagerly awaited 4G network, kind of to sort of demystify these terms, kind of explain what they mean and why you should be concerned about what kind of phone you have, or if you should be concerned.
I'm concerned.
Yeah. Some of this came from just from the last year's release of the iPhone 3G, which caused a lot of confusion among, I would say, lay people who aren't really familiar with the whole 2G, 3G thing in the first place, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's really not all that surprising when you think about it, because Apple, for a while there, was releasing new generations of IBM's PowerPC processors, and they had the G3 and the G4 Max, right?
Right.
So you know, it makes sense that people would be a little surprised. You know, I actually had somebody write in and say, hey, that's a picture of the 3G iPhone, not the second generation iPhone. Well, the second generation iPhone
is the 3G
because it's not 3G, it's G3.
Right.
Or wait,
it's G2.
Right.
G2. So yeah, all right. So here's where this whole confusion, see, even we get confused. It happens to the best of us.
Ow.
So the second generation iPhone is a 3G phone. And that's because the 3G does not refer to the phone's generation, but rather the technology, the cellular technology that phone communicates across, right?
Right. And as a matter of fact, people are wondering what there are rumors right now swirling about the next generation iPhone. And they're wondering what to call it because it won't be the 3G G3 iPhone.
Right. That would just be silly.
And then they're calling it the G4. And they're like, well, it's not really the fourth generation iPhone. Why don't we just call it Steve?
Yeah. Yeah. I think we'll
Steve
just
Steve would like that.
We'll just call it the Jobs. So here currently in the United States, we're kind of in a transitionary period where we're going from a 2G network and into a 3G network. 3G coverage in the United States is much better than it was this time last year. But it's still one of those things that's growing, city by city, and not every carrier has a 3G network. This is technology. I mean, it's stuff that, you know, hardware and software have to be in place for these networks to work. And not all the carriers are up to speed on that, at least not in the United States. Now, granted, in other parts of the world, they've had 3G for a while now. And there are certain parts of the United States where they've had it for a while, like San Francisco, that, you know, who'd have thunk it? But other places just got it, like, within the last 12 months or so.
Right.
Now, so the different generations, you can kind of divide them up by two different things. The technology they use to transmit signals through the cellular network, and the speed through that those signals have. You know, so like a 2G phone is going to transmit data and calls at a lower speed than a 3G phone in general.
Right. It depends on the technology too.
It depends on the technology. It actually depends on a lot of things. So we have to talk in a lot of generalities here. But let's break it down first. Like I was going to talk about 2G. There are two predominant technologies in the 2G networks. Most of the world uses GSM, which is it's based off a time division multiple access technology or TDMA.
Right.
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 So like Europe, Africa, Asia, a lot of these places, they are using GSM. But in the good old US of A, we decided to kind of adopt another technology. And some of the carriers are still using that. And that's called Code Division Multiple Access Technology, or CDMA.
That's right. Actually, if you're wondering where GSM came from, it's actually from a French acronym, the Confederation of European Posts and Telecommunications, founded the Groupe Spatial Mobile in 1982. And yes, that's 1982. That's, you know, 27 years ago.
Right.
And they're the ones who basically developed the standard known as GSM, and the acronym comes from them.
Now, for us rat-speaking folks, by that I mean those who speak English, or American if you prefer.
Yeah.
GSM, we usually just go ahead and knock that out into Global System for Mobile Communications.
Well, yeah, there's that.
Yeah. So it's not the true origin of the acronym, but hey, that's how we Americans like to do things. Gosh darn it.
Yeah, well.
So anyway, these two different technologies, they transmit information across radio signals in different ways. And because of that, they're not automatically compatible with one another. In fact, they're incompatible. So if you have a GSM phone, you can't necessarily switch to a CDMA network. So if you don't have any GSM coverage in the area you're in, you're kind of stuck. And that was one of the big problems with the US for a really long time, was that a lot of the rural areas had CDMA coverage, but not GSM coverage.
Right.
So if you started driving across the United States, you would find big patches of areas where you had no service. Since then, there have been some systems put in where you can use one phone over another carrier's network, but you usually end up having to pay some pretty big roaming charges, at least until fairly recently. A lot of the phone carriers now have realized that tends to drive customers away, and so they've they've taken that into account.
But yeah, in this case, it's still a matter of GSM phones using other GSM networks and CDMA phones using other CDMA networks.
That's right.
And if you're wondering sort of in a broad path which camp your provider falls into, if you're using Verizon Wireless or Sprint, Nextel, those are CDMA.
Right.
And T-Mobile and AT&T are using GSM.
Yes.
You can also find out if you are blindfolded and, or, you know, somebody had rubbed off all the markings from your phone, and they're not going to do that. That's why they subsidize your phone. They put their brand all over it.
Right.
But say you had to look at the back of a phone that didn't have a brand and go, how would I find out which one this is? If you were to take the battery out and look underneath, if it's got a SIM card,
that's a GSM phone. Yeah. The nice thing about GSM phones is that if you have multiple SIM cards and you have a different SIM card for every, you know, cell phone carrier, you can switch those out and then you're not even roaming anymore. Like if you move from one carrier's GSM network into another and you happen to have a SIM card for that carrier, you can switch them out and you're just fine. There's still some problems if you are traveling overseas because they transmit cellular, information on different frequencies. So if your phone is not capable of transmitting in the same frequencies as the carrier around you uses, you're still out of luck. It's just not going to be able to communicate with the network.
That's what you see when you're looking at phone specs. You're looking for a new phone and you see tri-band or quad band. That's what they're talking about. Or if you see the phrase world phones,
right?
That's basically what it's talking about. For GSM, there are actually four frequencies that I'm aware of that are used in different places around the world. And the more frequencies you use, I mean, they're still using GSM, but, you know, you may or may not find a signal. And if you're using CDMA, you're going to have a much more difficult time finding a signal.
Yeah, especially, traveling abroad, because like we said, CDMA is one of those technologies that really got a foothold in the United States and pretty much everywhere else adopted GSM. You may wonder why that is. It's because a lot of the European countries, the governments of those countries mandated a specific technology. And in the US, that's generally considered kind of anti-competitive. And so the US takes a laissez-faire approach and they decide not to, they say, well, you know, we're not going to mandate which one is used. Which sounds good, except for it ends up being kind of confusing for the consumer. To make matters even more confusing, you may have seen CDMA or GSM under other code names like EVDO and Edge.
Well, those refer to the different kinds of technology, and they're actually different forms of 3G.
Right.
Edge is one of them. That's probably well known. I think the first place I saw it was when they were starting to talk about the 3G iPhone, and they were saying, well, it'll be compatible with the Edge network. They talked about, I remember reading articles about how T-Mobile wasn't even on Edge yet, and that was one of the things with the G1. You may have heard of this phone from HTC uses the Google Android operating system.
I'm somewhat familiar with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was one of the things, you know, that they did. But, EVDO and Edge are, you know, theoretically next generation technologies.
Yeah. Some might say 2.5 instead of 3, because here's the other thing is that when we're talking about these technologies, there are organizations that are in place to try and standardize these technologies as best they can, but you're still talking about a range of capabilities. And so it gets kind of confusing. You know, you start seeing things like the 2G speeds sort of bleed into the lower end of the 3G speeds. So then you might say, okay, well, this is really a 2.5G phone or a 2.75G phone because it's faster than a 2G phone, but it's not as fast as what 3G is supposed to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
It definitely does not make life easier, you know, to understand all this stuff.
Right. Well, I mean, just to put some numbers behind it, Edge, which is the Enhanced Data GSM Environment, will give you speeds of up to 384 kilobits per second, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
But that's on the road to what a lot of people are calling the true 3G, which is Universal Mobile Telecommunication Service, or UMTS.
Right.
Or as I like to call it, UMTS.
Yes.
And And that's 2 megabits per second. So, you know, that's about 1.5 times faster. Actually, no, wait, never mind. It's like 4 times faster.
Yeah, it's really fast comparatively speaking.
Right.
And we should also go ahead and point out that these really high end speeds, they tend to be ideals. You know, it's very rare that you're going to actually encounter that on your own phone.
Right.
Especially if you're moving. If you are in motion, then you are going to experience slower speeds no matter which network you are on. You're not going to have the ideal speed. And some of them you'll see, like, in lab tests, they achieve speeds of blah, blah, blah to blah, blah, blah.
That's because they're sitting still in a lab chair and not driving across town when you're having a conversation with a friend. And
exactly. It's in under ideal circumstances, which I don't know about you, but I am rarely in what I would consider ideal circumstances.
Right.
Unless I happen to be in Hawaii, in which case I often do think I'm in ideal circumstances. the other 3G technology besides the UMTS is a CDMA 2000. Actually, there are more than just the two, but those are the two main ones. And again, this is another generation of the CDMA technology, which we can expect to see because the United States doesn't let go of stuff that easily. I mean, do you remember when we tried to switch to metric?
We sort of gave up on it.
Yeah, we totally gave up on it because, yeah, same sort of thing I think is going to happen here is that people who have this technology are not going to give up on it anytime soon. But I did read that AT&T, and of course I read this at AT&T's website, so take this however you like.
Mileage may vary. Some restrictions apply.
But AT&T said that their 3G speeds range from 3.6 to 7.2 megabits per second in the labs. Mm. And they expect that by the end of 2009, they'll have it up to 20 megabits per second. That's pretty fast. And,
not fast.
No, not compared to 4G.
Yes.
Is that where you were going right
I was
there?
Going, but we need to finish 3G.
I think we're pretty much done. I mean, we could talk about, I guess next would be long-term evolution, right?
Yes, which
is where we're getting into the 4G stuff.
Yeah, that's long-term evolution, or LTE is the 4G network.
Yeah.
And speaking of your reluctance to abandon technologies, it's kind of funny because the people who are moving to LTE are actually sort of a hodgepodge of different people who are in different technologies now. AT&T and Verizon, one of them is GSM, the other is CDMA. Both of them are saying that they'll have LTE networks in place by 2010.
Right.
And I'm saying when they say networks, I'm thinking maybe not with a capital N networks.
Yeah, maybe like New York, some San Francisco. Places.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're usually in scaled rollouts. So. Yeah.
Well, I mean, hey, let's play a cell phone tycoon for a minute. You know, you've built out this infrastructure that goes across the country, more or less, and then you have to go update all that stuff, and you only have a limited budget. You know, you're going to hit the big places first where lots and lots and lots of people are, and then move it out from there. So the thing is, though, that LTE will actually hit 100 megabits downstream and 30 upstream. It actually uses a form of TCP/IP, which is the protocol over which the internet travels.
Right.
And it's going to be a lot more like using an internet network than cell phones use now.
Right.
So it'll be a lot more familiar the technologies are actually sort of, and to use Jonathan's favorite word, converging.
Yes. It'll look more like a Wi-Fi setup than a cellular setup, although it's not using Wi-Fi. I mean, that would be a nightmare to do that because you would drop calls every time you walked 15 feet.
No, well, that's true. But, you know, it's Verizon and AT&T moving toward LTE and not another famous name, which is embracing a competing technology that we're all familiar with that will never be rolled out, in my opinion, WiMAX.
And WiMAX.
And Sprint. Sprint is a big fan. They're teamed up with Clearwire. Actually, I admire the technology, and I hope they roll it out.
Didn't they talk about this back in 2004?
Something along those lines.
Yeah. So WiMAX, yeah, that's supposed to be one of those last mile solution problem things where you say, how can we deliver internet connectivity to that last mile, the last mile to the customer wirelessly? So it's kind of like it's using a wireless technology that some people call it Wi-Fi on steroids, but that's not really accurate. It uses a completely different kind of protocol than Wi-Fi. There are a certain number of open spots, let's say. Let's just kind of, I'm going to use an example, kind of a concrete example. Just imagine this to kind of get an idea of how WiMAX works. Think of a round building that has 40 doors, 40 doorways. And as long as one of those doorways is open, you can get into that, get in and out of that building and get whatever information you need in and out of that building. That's kind of the way WiMAX works. Once you hit a certain number of folks hitting that WiMAX server, or actually tower, I guess you could say, mm-hmm. you got to go somewhere else.
Right.
So, but theoretically, you could serve information at incredible speeds to the people that you are allowing into that particular service. I'm kind of with Paulette here. I don't know that we're ever going to see this because we've been promised it forever. I know there's certain cities that are rolling out WiMAX networks, but.
Hello, Portland.
Yeah. It was supposed to be everywhere by now, and it hasn't arrived yet.
I think this goes back to it's really expensive to roll out expensive brand new technology to everywhere.
Yeah. Putting out a new infrastructure, whether you're talking about communications or transportation or, you know, fuel or whatever, anytime you're talking about rolling out a new infrastructure, that's expensive. Because first of all, you got to figure out how you're going to incorporate it into the existing infrastructure. And then you got to build the darn thing and you got to troubleshoot it and you got to make sure it works and you got to bring it online. And I mean, it's a big, big deal. It's not like, you know, you flip a switch and suddenly everyone's on 4G now. I had read a report that said that currently the expectation for widespread adoption of LTE in the US will take at least until 2012. So it would surprise me if we got there by 2012, considering how long it took us to get to 3G. But I mean, let's hope springs eternal. I mean, the recession kind of also plays another
true
nasty card into this whole thing. Companies are suddenly worried more about staying in business than they are about innovating. So
true.
We'll have to see how that goes. I did hear that if you're stationary and you're using a top-of-the-line 4G network,
mm-hmm.
you could expect up to 1 gigabit per second.
Wow.
Eventually, which is a lot of data. That's really, really fast.
That's true. And that's the point at which you're going to start seeing, I think, internet convergence.
Right.
Versus, you know, now you have DSL and cable, but at those speeds, that's beating out DSL and cable connections now.
Yeah.
Even the fiber optic connections are slower than that.
And I've talked a lot about netbooks converging with smartphones. I think at those speeds, you could really see that happen because suddenly cloud computing becomes a really distinct possibility. You know, you don't connect to a Wi-Fi network. You connect to a 4G network. You're going to have much faster speeds than you would with Wi-Fi.
Yep.
So at that point, cloud computing becomes really, really attractive because as long as you have that guaranteed high speed connection, you can take advantage of it.
Yep. That sounds good.
I have nothing else about cellular phone networks.
Nor do I.
Oh, thank goodness. Because you know what that means.
Oh, no.
Right.
I can try and invent something real quick.
Nope. Sorry. It's time for listener mail. Today's listener mail comes from Simon. Simon says, "Hey, guys." Hi, Simon. "I was very intrigued by the podcast on expensive cables, although without much proof, I've always maintained that they are probably nothing but a big scam, at least if you have an average entertainment system and non-bionic ears." Yeah, mine haven't come in the mail yet. "I do have a couple of comments on the study with coat hangers. As you say, it's only 5 people, so obviously not too scientific. But it seems to me that if 2 out of 5 could tell the difference, that might be a little bit more than just coincidence. Secondly, the fact that a coat hanger may produce the same quality of monster cables can be explained by the fact that it's made of a very thick wire, possibly capable of transmitting more information." I just did air quotes because he put quotes around that. "So, in that sense, a coat hanger and a monster cable may be better than regular cables. I love the podcast. Please keep up the great work." Thanks, Simon. Great. Really appreciate that. I agree with you. A sample size of 5 is not scientific at all. You can't call that scientific. It was really more of an experiment, like in the very loosest sense of the word, not in the scientific sense. As for a thick wire carrying more information, heavier gauge wire is capable of carrying a higher charge. I mean, that makes sense. But it also, keep in mind that the coat hangers had no shielding. So there was nothing to shield it from any interference, which is another one of the claims that high-end cable manufacturers will make. They'll say these cables have a lot of shielding on them, and therefore the signal will be pure, and you won't lose anything from the source to the destination.
Yeah, that's true. And of course, the point is that not that monster cables are complete and utter fraud. They're actually very good cables. It's just that most people say, well, lesser cables can handle the same treatment or are as good in certain circumstances.
Right.
So, you know, it's not a complete,
right.
You know, you're not wasting your money. It's just you could probably spend less money.
Yeah. You could probably spend less money quality. And get the experience that you really want.
Yeah.
You know, unless the experience you really want is to feel your wallet get lighter, in which case Monster's the way to go, baby.
Yeah, I mean, if brand recognition is good for you, then
yeah,
okay.
I mean, it is a good quality product.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now that we've managed to weasel out of that one, I think it's time to wrap this up. Remember, if you have any comments or suggestions or corrections, anything along those lines, you can send it to us, techstuff@howstuffworks.com. We have blogs up. You can go to howstuffworks.com and you will see the listing of the blogs on the right-hand side. Please come and visit. Definitely leave comments. Chris and I both interact on those blogs. So if you have a burning desire to say, hey, I love your podcast, and by the way, you misspelled blah, 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 you can do that. And then we will hang our heads in shame.
I never misspell blah, blah, blah.
Neither do I, actually. But, you know, you can give it a shot.
Yes.
So please come to howstuffworks.com. Check out some of the articles there. We have plenty on cellular phones. Boy, I got all the way through until the end. Cellular phones and other subjects as well. And we will talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.